Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the church? Many people today might answer that question in some of these ways. With a dictionary definition, a church is a building used for public Christian worship. And this can be illustrated with two hands. Here is the church, there's the steeple, open the doors, there are the people. Or with a contemporary comment on an out-of-date, largely irrelevant, and sometimes obstructive institution. A church is a relic of the past. Surely we've moved on from religious superstitions, haven't we? Or, with a reference to the unholy lives of Christians, churches are places filled with self-righteous hypocrites and some who abuse children. Or, with a description of presumed perfection, a church is where really good people go. I would never fit in there. Over the next six sermons in this preaching series, which focuses on what the Bible reveals about the church, we'll be looking at different passages from Scripture, with the structure of these messages taken from the Belgic Confession, Articles 27 to 32. The Belgic Confession originated in Belgium and was written in 1561, mainly by Guido de Bray, who was a preacher in the Reformed churches of the Netherlands. He died as a martyr for his Christian faith in 1567. This confession is one of the seven historical documents which we believe, as a Reformed church, faithfully summarize many aspects of the teaching of the Bible. Creeds and confessions are useful in a number of ways. They assist in answering the question, what do the Reformed churches believe or teach? They provide a common standard, uniting the members of our churches in a common confession. They also provide a standard for discipline for all the office bearers in the church and enable the church to guard its members from false doctrine and to maintain the purity of the truth taught by its members. Unlike the usual approach to preaching from this pulpit, where the truth of a particular passage in the Bible is expounded, this series takes a topical approach, where the subject is explored from a range of texts and concepts in the Bible. Our title and topic today are taken from Belgic Confession Article 27, which we heard earlier in this service. And we're going to look at the Holy Catholic Christian Church under three headings. First, the confession of the church. Second, the Catholicity of the church. And third, the holiness of the church. So first, the confession of the church. The name Jesus means different things to different people. For some, this is a swear word. Others use it as an exclamation without meaning to refer to a person. Others think of Jesus as a good moral teacher, a mythical figure, or perhaps a first century political activist. Who do you say that Jesus is? In his public ministry, Jesus was visible to many people as he moved from place to place, performing many miracles and speaking with powerful authority, the likes of which people had never heard before. It's clear from the disciples' reply to the question Christ asked them, who do people say that the Son of Man is, that people in the crowds had different ideas about who Jesus was. Son of Man is the title Jesus most frequently used to refer to himself, emphasizing his humanity. Some popular suggestions back then were John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the other Old Testament prophets. And this is not so different from today, where people have different ideas about who Jesus is. In Matthew 16, verse 16, we read how Jesus then asked his disciples a direct and personal question, who do you say that I am? Their next reply comes from Peter, who responded both for himself and for the other disciples, saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ means anointed one, or Messiah, the prophet, priest, and king promised through the Old Testament, who would bring blessing, restoration, and life to the people loved by God and chosen to be his own. To declare that Jesus is the Christ is a weighty statement, made long ago by Peter and made today about 2,000 years later when we witness a public profession of faith. Jesus responds to Peter's public profession by saying, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In order for a person to recognize Jesus for who he really is, God the Father must supernaturally reveal this to them. This is why people like you and me cannot by ourselves convince other people that Jesus is actually who he really is. Only God can open their eyes to see the truth. However, God is pleased to use the witness, testimony, and proclamation of those who know Jesus to reveal him to others. This is exactly what the disciples went on to do for many people after Jesus ascended into heaven. God has been using the testimony of Christians to reveal who Christ is to many people for the past 2,000 years. On behalf of the other disciples as their representative and for himself, Peter made a key confession about who Jesus is. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This confession from a believing heart is the confirmation that a person has been saved from their sins. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So says Romans 10 verse 9. Or whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. 1 John 4 verse 15. After confirming that his heavenly Father had revealed his true identity to Peter, Jesus said these words, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There are widely different interpretations of these words, which speak about the church. For example, the rock is a reference to Christ himself. And this view has been supported by noting that the Greek for Peter is different from the word for rock. However, Jesus would have spoken these words in Aramaic, where the same word is used for Peter's name and for the rock. Also, it's clear that Christ is the builder of the church in this declaration, not the foundation in these words. Another interpretation is that the rock is a reference to Peter himself. And so, in making this prophecy, Jesus confers on Peter a place of primary honor and authority over the whole church. This interpretation led to the idea that the primary leadership in the church flowed down from Peter himself in what is called the apostolic succession. And this concept then developed into the supposed supreme authority of popes in the Roman Catholic Church and of bishops in the Eastern Orthodox Church and other groups such as Anglican and some Lutheran. However, it is clear from the book of Acts that authority in the early New Testament church was shared between the apostles, and that Peter was not in a higher position than the others. In John 20, verse 23, we see the authority given to Peter in Matthew 16, verse 9, being given to the other disciples. Another interpretation is that the rock is a reference to Peter as a representative of everyone who makes a true, heartfelt, apostolic confession about Jesus. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ is then promising that his church will be built on all those who confess him to be who he is. This fits the context of Christ's words in Matthew 16, verses 13 to 18, and is in harmony with the church as described in Scripture after Christ's resurrection. The church, then, is not an institution led by a single human being who has been given supreme authority over her. She is a group who share together in common confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that in him alone they have salvation from their sins and stand before God, accepted, loved, and blessed as his children. The Christian church is a confessing church. She is also a Catholic church, which brings us to our second point. Almost always when we hear the word Catholic, we think of the Roman Catholic Church, but that is not the root meaning of this term. The word Catholic is a combination of two Greek terms, according to and the whole. So Catholic means universal, the whole of something. We first find this term written down in the early Christian church leader and writer Ignatius in the 2nd century AD. Ignatius used the word Catholic to describe a single group of confessing Christians. We find the word Catholic in the three early church statements of belief, which form the three creeds that we confess as Reformed churches: the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian creeds. In each one of these, we find a reference to the Catholic Church. Apostles' Creed: I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Nicene Creed: I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. Athanasian Creed: the Catholic faith is this. If you ask many Christians when the church began, they may say something like, at Pentecost, as recorded in the book of Acts. This refers to the time when many people heard the Apostle Peter preaching about Christ, and then about 3,000 repented, believed, were baptized, and were added that day. You may recall, however, that we heard earlier in Belgic Confession, Article 27, that the church has existed from the beginning of the world. Let's explore this idea now by seeing what the Bible says. In the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 8, it is revealed that the names of all who are saved have been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain. In the mind of God, the church is the entire Catholic group of those who share a common confession that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, has existed from the very beginning. It's helpful to know that the Old Testament was translated into Greek from Hebrew and Aramaic about 250 BC. According to Jewish tradition, this work was done by about 70 scholars, which resulted in the name of this Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, from the Latin meaning 70. The Greek word translated church in the New Testament scriptures is used to translate the Hebrew word kahal in the Old Testament Septuagint. Kahal means a gathering or assembly. For example, in Deuteronomy 4 verse 10, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words. Or Deuteronomy 18 verse 16, as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly. Just before Peter was stoned to death because he confessed Christ, he spoke to the Jews and gave a history of Old Testament Israel, referring to the congregation in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. The word congregation here in Greek is ecclesia, elsewhere in our English versions translated church. The Greek ecclesia is where we get the English term ecclesiastical, meaning connected to the Christian church. The congregation or church in the wilderness were God's chosen people, Israel, who had been led out of slavery in Egypt. D.A. Carson, the American theology professor and author, has written about the early church: "The church begins when the first human sinner is redeemed and joined with another redeemed human sinner. The church then has a long history." In the words of the Belgic Confession, the Catholic or Universal Church is a congregation and assembly of true Christian believers who expect their entire salvation in Jesus Christ. Abraham, the father of faith, is part of this Christian church. His faith in the promises of God, then yet to be realized in Christ, was credited to him as righteousness. Later in history, there was a time in the prophet Elijah's ministry when he was really depressed, feeling utterly alone as the only one who trusted in the Lord. But God spoke to him to assure him that the church, as an assembly of true believers, did not just consist of one person. God spoke then of a remnant of the church which remained, even during the perilous reign of King Ahab, the husband of wicked Jezebel, saying, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Baal is the name of a false god in Old Testament times. Not only is the church Catholic, being a universal assembly of true believers stretching back in time, but she will always exist in the future. God will always preserve some who truly love and worship him. This universal Catholic Church will be together forever in the new heavens and new earth, composed of people from every tribe and language and people and nation. The Church is also Catholic in her geographical spread around the world. In the words of the Belgic Confession, she is not confined or limited to one particular place or to certain persons, but is spread and dispersed throughout the entire world. However, while the scriptures do refer to the whole Catholic Church as the body of Christ, more frequently the word church is used to describe a local congregation in a particular place. For example, in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, the church of God that is in Corinth. The biblical Christian church confesses Christ for who he is. The church is the assembly of all those who have trusted in the promised Saviour throughout all history, all those who believe in Jesus now, and all those who will come to faith before Jesus returns. This church is a large congregation of people from all around the globe, throughout the history of this world. She is the Catholic Universal Church. She is also holy, which brings us to our third point. Like church, Jesus, and Catholic, holy is another widely misunderstood word. For many people, the word holy conjures up a mental picture of especially good or perhaps a very religious person, maybe even with a halo around their head. The basic meaning of holy is to be set apart as pure. The holiness laws in the Old Testament were God's commands for Israel, who were to be a holy nation. God himself is holy. He is altogether other. He is set apart from all that he has made. He is perfect in every way and worthy of reverence, praise, adoration, and worship. The heavenly beings around God's throne in a vision revealed to the prophet Isaiah call out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The Belgic Confession identifies the true Catholic Church as a holy congregation and assembly of true Christian believers. The Bible describes the church in these words in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This confessing Catholic Christian church is set apart to be God's holy people who speak out the glory, grace, and grandeur of their Lord and Saviour. From early New Testament times, from those times onwards, different groups have sought to be set apart from the world around them by withdrawing from society. For example, the Montanists in the early 2nd century AD, the monastic movement, the German Pietism movement. A modern example of this type of community is the isolated West Coast Gloria Vale settlement, also known as the Cooperites. Practicing abstinence from sensual or worldly pleasures in order to pursue personal purity has been a characteristic of some of these groups. Holiness has been greatly misunderstood by many people over the years. Here is what the Bible says. The people who are part of the local church in any particular location are called saints, which means holy ones or set apart ones. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, or to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. God declares those who make a true heartfelt apostolic confession, like Peter's, to be holy, because they are saved by faith in Christ, and his perfect holiness is credited to them as if it were their own. All those who confess Christ, who believe in the Son, have eternal life. They are adopted into God's holy family as his children, that they would be holy and blameless before him. They are also called to live lives which reflect the holy people God has declared them to be. They are not called to earn credit with God, but to live out who they are as Christ-like holy people. So when Guido de Bray wrote about the Holy Congregation and Assembly of True Christian Believers in 1561, he was not being naive, somehow thinking that the church was full of perfect people. He would have known, as we know, that there is unholiness, sin, and hypocrisy in the church. At times, ministers commit moral failures. Elders take up positions for prestige and power, not out of love for Christ and his church. Deacons and treasurers fiddle the books to line their own pockets. Congregational members squabble over minor matters, and churches divide as a result. Those whose confession of Christ comes from a believing heart do fail. They do sin, and they do not live perfectly holy lives. However, they do desire to be the holy people God has called them to be. They take the Bible seriously. For example, these words, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" That's 1 Peter 1, verse 14 to 16. In general, local church congregations are a mixture of those who truly confess Christ as their Lord and Saviour and those who do not. This is like a paddock with weeds mixed in with a crop where you can't tell the difference between them until harvest time. This mixture of true believers and others can be called the visible church. Sometimes we speak of the invisible church, meaning the whole Catholic Church worldwide and down through history, scattered amongst various denominations who truly confess Christ to be who he is. This invisible church is the whole number of those who are saved. This is the holy Catholic Christian Church, whom God will preserve to the end. in light of this sermon, how would you answer these questions? What is the church? Who is Jesus? What does Catholic mean? What is holiness? The most important question is this: who is Jesus? Can you say from your heart, in the words of the public profession of faith form, I fully realize that I am a sinner unworthy of any of God's grace or mercy. I am therefore humbled before God and repent of my sins, trusting through Jesus' unbounded love for me that I am saved from my sins. If you can, then you are part of the Holy Catholic Christian Church. You are called not to be ashamed of Christ, the Son of the living God, but to publicly proclaim him. You are called to be holy in all your conduct. You, like the Apostle Peter, have been supernaturally changed by God so that you know who Jesus Christ truly is. You can be assured that God will preserve the Holy Catholic Church forever. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace towards the Apostle Peter and everyone else who is part of the Holy Catholic Christian Church. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have our hope for salvation. May he be at the centre of our confession. We thank you for the Church Universal and for this local church of which we can be part. Teach us to be holy, to be set apart as those who are clothed in Christ's righteousness and who are daily being sanctified. Give us a love for our fellow members of the Universal Church and a burden for those who are not. Do your work in us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, shall we sing now of our great confession, our Lord Jesus Christ, in number 319, Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it.